Luke chapter 16 tonight. Your Bibles, please. Luke chapter 16. We're going to look at verses 19 through 31. At the rich man and Lazarus. And then we're going to look at tonight, our text will be taken from verses 29, 30, and 31. So I'll give you a little bit of introduction. And then we'll go to the main text this evening. But if you would stand one more time for reading of God's Word, I appreciate that. Thank you. Luke chapter 16, verse number 19, you follow along as I read, down to verse number 31. Very familiar passage of Scripture, and a very sobering passage of Scripture as well, and one that we need to read often to remind us that we should be busy for the Lord. Verse number 19 says, "There was a certain rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, here's a rich man now, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Father, tonight we thank you for your word, for the instruction of it, Father, and for the warning that we all need to hear, the warning of there is a hell. Prepare for the devil and his angels, that men that reject Christ will go to. God, help us tonight, I pray, to receive instruction from your book, from the Holy Spirit of God, we ask in your name and pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Let me just give you a few thoughts, by way of introduction, as we look at this text tonight, and we'll take then some of our key thoughts from verses 29, 30, and 31. As I read this, of course, it's a very familiar passage of Scripture. It's one that probably should be preached more often than it is to remind us of the reality of hell. This text is not a parable. It doesn't begin with a parable, nor does it indicate that. Some would say, well, it's a parable or a figment of imagination. No, it's a real story, a real event about real people in a real place. So we find here tonight that as I look at this text, that everything should be and must be viewed through the lenses of eternity. We said again, as we look at the Scripture tonight, and as we live our life, everything must be viewed through the lens of eternity. 2 Corinthians 4:18 reminds us this. It says, "While we look not on things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." So if we get our eyes on what we can see, we will live our life based upon the temporary. Things don't last forever. So we have to view our life and what we do for Christ, to view what we do through the lens of eternity for the right perspective. Viewing life through the things which are seen will cause you to place your priorities on the temporal. Eternity reveals to us the importance and the value of all things. When I look through the eyes of this text tonight, there are some things that we probably find that's not so important that we fight about. When you look at, through the text tonight, through the lens of eternity, we might find some things tonight that, wait a minute, in my life, that there are some things not that important or not that great of value that I'm giving too much time to. So eternity reveals the importance and value of all things. Eternity reveals the wisdom and significance of my priorities and my purpose. That being said, tonight, if you can't do what you do for the glory of God, then change what you're doing. If there is no eternal value in what you're doing, then change what you are doing. Change how you're living. So everything, as we look at these two men, one went to heaven, one went to hell. Everything that we do and all our priorities and purposes must be viewed through the lens of eternity. Is my life have eternal value in what I'm doing? We see tonight, we see two different men with two different eternities. Our text tonight says that there was a certain rich man and a certain beggar. These were real people in real life we read about this evening. The rich man had a life of wealth and comfort. He was clothed with purple and fine linen. He was a very wealthy man. He had the best of everything. The Bible says that he fared sumptuously every day. Every day he had no thought of tomorrow. He had no thought about paying bills. He had no thought about what he was going to eat or to wear. He had a very lavish and luxurious lifestyle. He lived, we find, in a gated community. He very upscale and very well to do. He ate the best of food, and leftovers were never on the menu, most likely. He was part of the elite crowd, and he wasn't concerned for others. He gave no thought to the beggar, no thought to his family, no thought to his brothers. He was so wealthy, he was so consumed with luxury that he gave no thought for tomorrow or for eternity. The beggar, though, he had a life of poverty and a life of suffering. His body was racked with poor health. He had to be carried and laid at the rich man's gate, and his body was full of sores. He hungered and he begged for his food, and he just really longed for the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. He was an outcast of society. He was never able to go beyond the gates of that society. He's always laid at the gates, never in the gates. He never wore clothes of purple, never laid on beds of fine linen. His comfort from day to day was when the dogs came and licked his sores. When we view these things, when we see these men through the things that we see, when our eyes, that we look at these things through the lenses of this life, we say, I don't want to be the beggar. Right? You look at these two men, well, I wouldn't want to be the beggar. That's not what I want. I don't want to be the beggar. But when you look at these two men on the other side of eternity, our priorities, let me back up again. When we look at these two men on this side of eternity, on this side of heaven, we say, make me the rich man. We say that he's the winner. He's living life. He must be doing something right. Make me the rich man. But when the rich man got to hell, to the other side of eternity, he cried out, I should have been the beggar. Should have been the beggar. The Bible says in Matthew 16:26, for what is a man profited if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You see, we find tonight that eternity changes the temporary. Eternity will always change the temporary. I want to encourage you tonight that whatever you may be going through in your life, eternity will change the temporary. It always does. While they were living, their rich man was well known, and Lazarus was not known. In eternity, Lazarus was known and the rich man was not. Now think about that for a moment. We find in our text tonight, the rich man, he has no name. But Lazarus did. In this life, probably very few people knew who Lazarus was. But in this life, people knew the rich man. But now as the Holy Spirit of God, he pens the Bible, he names Lazarus. But he doesn't name the rich man. Because in eternity, the lost have no name. Their names been blotted out. Their names aren't in the book of life. And so when the rich man got to eternity, Christ said this, depart me, for I never knew you. I never knew you. I don't know your name. I don't know who you are. But Lazarus was known. So how come he was saved? Because he was poor? Because he was suffering? No, because he knew the Lord as a Savior. And the Lord knew him, by the way. He knew his name. And that's the only good song about knowing his name, right there. And he knew his name. And so while they were living, the rich man was known. But in eternity it changed. He had no name, no identity. While they were living, the rich man lived in comfort and luxury. And Lazarus lived in poverty and suffering. In eternity, the rich man was tormented and Lazarus was comforted. You see, in hell there is torment. In heaven there is comfort. For the lost, all the comforts and luxuries they enjoy in this life are soon forgotten in hell. For the believer, all their sacrifices and all their sufferings in this life are soon forgotten in heaven. All the comforts of this world will not in the slightest degree diminish the torments of hell. And all the sufferings of this life, of this present time, will in no wise overshadow the glory of heaven. There is no suffering that you can experience that in the first 3 minutes of heaven won't heal. In hell there is no mercy. In heaven there is God's presence and God's goodness. While they were living, the rich man could go as he pleased. And Lazarus was laid and restricted by the rich man's gate. In eternity, all of heaven was at Lazarus' disposal and his pleasure. The rich man was restricted by a great gulf fixed that could not be moved. While they were living, the rich man had no thought for eternity. No thought for others, but in heaven, in eternity, the rich man now in hell, he cares about the souls of his brothers. You see, tonight, eternity changes the temporary. We get so fixated upon what's happening now in this life. We get so consumed in our sufferings and in our trials and our heartaches, in the battles of life, we forget that. Wait, in heaven one day, it'll change it all. Change it all. Tonight, you will face in this life as Christians and as God's people, you will face sufferings and hurts and misunderstandings. And sometimes you'll say, God, I don't understand why. But I guarantee the first 3 minutes in heaven will heal all those problems, all those hurts, and all those questions will be answered when we see Him face to face. It's not yet been revealed, the glory shall be revealed in us one day in heaven. But my thought as I read this text a few weeks ago, I think Brother Victor referred to it not too long ago in one of his messages. My attention was taken hold of in verse number 29 through 31. And Abraham said unto him, so now this rich man, he is, by the way, he's still there in hell today. He's still begging for a drop of water on his tongue. Never to be relieved, never to feel any relief. Never to feel any kind of comfort. He's still begging. And this morning, Brother Victor preached about the great white judgment throne and how that for a short time, the hell will give up her dead and they'll stand before God before a cast like a fire. I don't believe the torment will stop. I think the standing before God Almighty will torment the sinner as much as hell will. Before His righteousness and His judgment and His holiness, their works will condemn them and they'll be tortured knowing that they could have been saved, that they received Christ. And perhaps, maybe, I don't know this to be sure or not, I'm not saying, but perhaps they'll be begging for hell rather than before God Almighty, be condemned before Him. I'm not sure. But tonight, eternity changes a lot of things, doesn't it? The view of eternity. But as I read this in verse number 30 now, he wants Abraham to send him back. He wants, you know, listen, send Lazarus to help me. And he said, listen, Lazarus can't come to you. Even if he wanted to, he can't come to you. And so now he changes his plea and says, listen, I've got five brethren. And I should have been more concerned when I was alive, but I wasn't. But, boy, I hate to have them come to this place. Please send Lazarus to go and warn them. And watch what he says in verse 31. He said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Boy, how many times did Christ did that? In fact, there was Lazarus. I'm not sure the same person, but Mary and Martha's brother Lazarus came back from the dead, and they didn't believe. Right? In fact, they sought ways to kill him after he was raised from the dead. Christ came back from the dead. Many folks still don't believe. So now, here's my thought tonight as I read those verses. My thought was this. What is essential to salvation? What do the lost require? Number one is this. The lost require the Word. The lost require the Word. We see it says in verse 131, if they hear not Moses and the prophets. What is he speaking about? He's speaking about, listen, Moses is gone. He's in Abraham's bosom with Lazarus. He's speaking about the Word of God, the law, the thou shalt not. He was speaking about the prophets. So he's speaking about tonight the law and grace, truth and mercy. Moses' law said, listen, these are the commandments, but you can't keep them, and you're a sinner. The prophets prophesied of Christ's coming of grace and mercy. And so here Abraham said, listen, if they don't, listen, what they need is they need the Word. They need God's Word. The lost require the Word of God. Look at me in Ephesians chapter 1 for a moment. The lost require the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 13. Listen to this testimony of salvation. Verse number 13 says, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And tonight we can look at other scriptures tonight, but the Word of God is essential to salvation. The lost need the Word of God tonight. And here Paul said, listen, you heard the Word of truth. You see, tonight the lost, they don't need more worldly music. They don't need programs and promotions and handouts. They don't need the church to go liberal and dilute the Word of God. What the lost need tonight is they need the Word of God. That's what saves sinners. Romans 10:17 says, so the faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. I think the devil, we see from the very beginning, the devil attacks the Word of God. Why? Because it's powerful. Hebrews says, a sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to divide and pierce asunder even the soul and spirit, and knows the intents and the thoughts of the heart. And listen, the devil hates the Word of God. The world hates God's Word of God. It's not because it's hard to understand, by the way. It's because it's convicting. It's powerful. And when they come across God's Word, they can't refute it. They can't deny it. And they're afraid of it. But the lost need the Word of God. The Word of God proclaims that the lost man is a sinner. That's what the world needs to hear. Listen, you read the old prophets and they would preach, repent! Repent. The kingdom of God's at hand. Repent. Be saved. So I thank God that we can preach Jesus Christ loves you. But let me tell you something. If a man doesn't know he's a sinner, what good is the love of Christ then? If I'm not a sinner, I don't need Calvary. If I'm not a sinner, I don't need Christ's love. A man needs to know, the Bible says that you are a sinner. Listen, the lost require the Word of God. You see, without sin, man cannot comprehend the love of God. Without sin, Calvary holds no value. So the Word of God proclaims that the lost are sinners. The Word of God proclaims there's a penalty for sin. The Word of God tells us that for the wages of sin is death. And so the lost need the Word of God. The lost also proclaim that Christ is the Savior. So the lost require the Word of God. I love John 3:16. I know it's, people use it, but you can't wear it out, can you? For God so loved the world. He gives an only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the gospel. That's the Word of God. And Abraham said, listen, what your brothers need is the Word of God. Right. They need the Word of God. It's not you or I or our personalities or our talents or abilities. It's not a church denomination. It's the Word of God. And we tonight, I'll get there in a little bit here. So number one, the lost require the Word. By the way, once you get saved, you still need the Word. You still need the Word. And I think today, I was told this last week that somebody told me that, well, you're cultish. Well, if believing the Word makes me cultish, I'll be cultish then. And again, I want to emphasize tonight that the world's push is be liberal and look the Word of God down. But let me tell you something. We do an injustice to God and to the lost man by diluting God's Word down, by making it secondary in our churches. The Word of God should have primary preeminence in this place always. And we should live by the Word of God. So number one, the lost require the Word. Number two is the lost require, now watch this, now listen to me, hearing the Word. Look at our text again, Luke 16. Luke 16, Abraham says this, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. You see, the lost require the hearing of the Word. Look back at our, are you still in Ephesians, by the way? Look there for a moment, for a second. Ephesians chapter number 1 and Acts chapter 10. And we could look at a lot of these verses this evening, but we'll just look at these two. The lost require hearing. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 13 says, in whom also you trusted after that ye heard the Word. The lost require hearing. They must hear the Word of God. Look with me at Acts chapter number 10, please. Acts 10. And look with me at verse number 43. This is Peter now preaching to the Gentiles. We see verse number 43, it says, to him gave all the prophets witness. So the Word of God, it witnesses, testifies on Christ Jesus, that through His name, whosoever believeth in Him shall receive the remission of sins. Verse number 44, while Peter yet spake on these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the Word. So when Peter went to Cornelius' house and preached, he didn't preach some humanistic idea or some self-help. Peter went and he preached Jesus. He preached the Bible. He preached the book. He preached the prophets. And when they heard, not just when they happened to hear, but when they heard the Word of God, and they believed. So the lost man must hear the Word of God. See, every man is responsible for hearing. Hearing. One day Dubuque will give account for hearing God's Word. Every man will stand before God and give account for how they heard. That's why Christ said so many times in the Bible, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. It's important that you hear. The devil is doing his best to distract men from hearing. There are distractions all around us from hearing. The rich man was listening to wealth and luxury. He didn't hear the Word of God. The lost we find tonight in our own city are listening to entertainment and pleasures, not hearing the Word of God. The lost of tonight are listening to their heart, not hearing the Word of God. Our culture tonight is drowning out God's Word, and folks are not listening to the Word of God. The lost are listening to their own voice, not hearing the Word of God. You see, what is required for a man to be saved? The Word of God. So let them hear the Word of God. Let them hear Moses and the prophets. That was preaching the Bible, preaching the book. But they have to hear. They have to hear. And so tonight, what the lost require, they require hearing. So let me say this tonight to the Christian tonight. Don't get distracted. You see, because it's important not for this lost man to hear, but also for the believer to hear. I mean, listen, really hear. Really hear. Will you listen? I know that tonight we get so used to being in the church house. I mean, most of us here are three times a week, if not more. But if you're not careful, you'll stop listening. You'll stop hearing. You'll just show up and you let it go in one ear and out the other. And we get so dug in our own ways and we become unteachable. We get stuck and we go, I'm not moving. I'm not going forward. I'm not listening. And I'm mad about something. And we stop hearing. It's important that you hear the Word of God. You keep on hearing. I encourage you not to be teachable. Listen, in your life, don't get too old to be unteachable, to be not taught. Don't become unteachable. Then number three tonight, and lastly, is this: what does the lost require? The lost require the word. Lost require the word. What also lost require? Hearing the word of God. We must. And by the way, again, Christian tonight, listen. Be hearing. Hear God's word. Hear it. Hear God's word in your devotion time. When you get the Bible, don't just read it to say, I read the Bible today and mark off a few questions. But read it to hear God's word. Let God speak to you and the word. Say, well, I want God to speak to me. He will if you pick it up.
Right.
He will if you're listening. Hey, when you come to church house, don't just say, well, it's the preacher again. I want another tirade. I want one of his rants. No, hear God. Listen, let God speak to your heart. Let God hear. And when you hear, listen, when you hear? When you start changing. When you respond. You know, it's not uncommon, and I'm not going to embarrass anybody tonight, but it's not uncommon for folks that are involved in ministry to say, you know what, I preach, I wonder if anybody's listening. If anybody's listening. And we're going to give an account tonight one day for what we hear, what we do with it. Don't get distracted tonight. The devil wants to come in and distract our church. And by the way, if you think he's distracted us now, wait till we start in this chapel ministry. And start seeing people saved in our city. And start seeing the baptismal waters being moved. The devil's going to put a fight about it. He wasn't going to let that just go without a fight. He's trying to distract you. But the word of God must have preeminence. Last night, number three is this, and I'll be done. So here's we find in our text tonight, as a rich man, he cries out for somebody to go and tell his brothers. And he wants Lazarus to go and tell him because he thought, man, my idea is if, boy, Lazarus went back from the dead and said, listen, you know, I was dead. I was in Abraham's bosom. I saw your brother in hell. And he wants me to tell you about Christ so that they would believe. And, of course, the truth of the matter is they wouldn't and they won't hear God's word. So he said this in verse 131, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, you will be persuaded though one rose from the dead. So the Bible is important, required for salvation. They must also hear the word of God. But last night is this, the lost require the preaching of the word. Look with me at Romans chapter 10 for a moment. The lost require the preaching of the word. Well, we've been through Romans in our Wednesday night services. Look what it says in Romans 10 and verse 11. What a great scripture tonight here. It says, for the scripture, are you there with me? For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth in on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be, what class?
Saved.
Who? Anyone. Jew or Gentile, rich or poor, black or white, yellow or green, it makes no difference tonight. When they call upon Christ, He saves them. He's no respecter of persons, and we cry out, Lord, save me, be merciful. He saves us. He'll save a sinner. But now watch what He says then, verse 14. How shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him who they have not, what? Heard. And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. We find tonight that the lost require the preaching of the word. The preaching of the word. Here Paul lays out the argument, listen, that Christ will save anyone that calls upon Him. He's rich in mercy and rich in grace. And where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. And so he says this, if you call upon Christ and believe upon Him, you'll be saved. But how can they believe whom they've not heard of? And how can they hear except there be a preacher that would go and preach? I think of Acts chapter 8, verse 4. It says this about the Christians there in Acts. It says, therefore they were scattered abroad when everywhere preaching the word. As the Christians there in the early church began to face persecution, and they were being scattered abroad because of persecution. But as they went and established new places, they went preaching the word. Well, because the lost require the word. They require hearing. But how can they hear without a preacher? So they went preaching the word. We see in 1 Corinthians 1:17 where it says this, where Paul said, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel." As a church, that church in Corinth, as they fought about who baptized who, and who was better by being baptized by Paul or by Apollos, you know, that they were trying to have this elite group there, and Paul says, "I didn't come to baptize, can to preach the gospel." I think that baptism is important, but it's not required for salvation. It's a testimony. I've been saved. I'm a child of God. But Paul said, "I didn't come to baptize. I came to preach the gospel." Why? Because the lost require the word. The lost require hearing the word. We see in 2 Timothy 4:2, where Paul tells Timothy, "Timothy, preach the word." He didn't say, "Just go do what you want. Just go tell you. Just go talk about what you don't want to talk about." So Timothy, as you pastor the church and as you lead the church, preach the word. 1 Corinthians 1:21, it says this, "For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." You know, today the world says preaching is foolishness. So they changed the church to a place of entertainment. They've moved the pulpit and they put a stage with lights, entertainment, and they bring in the wrong kind of music, and it's all about entertaining and all that kind of nonsense. And now the preacher just has a 10-minute little sermon over here about how to be a better you and how to be prosperous. And we do it with the word of God. And so Paul, listen, God said, listen, please God by preaching to save them that believe. Well, the world needs today preachers, preaching the word of God. The lost cannot hear unless there's a preacher preaching the word. Listen to it. Preaching isn't lifestyle evangelism. Now, I believe as a Christian, you ought to have a lifestyle that pleases God. I really believe tonight that when you live your life in the workplace or in the job or the schoolhouse, they could tell you that guy, that woman, they're a Christian by how they live their life, how they act, how they behave, how they dress, how they talk. They're a Christian. And their lifestyle proves it. But it's more than that. He didn't say, "Hey, God will save those by your lifestyle." He said, "By your preaching, He saves the lost." It's preaching. Preaching is not, now listen to me, don't get tight with me now. Preaching is not secretly dropping a track here or there. I'm for tracks. We buy a lot of them. And a lot of you are passing out, and I'm glad for that. And I think that's a good witness to pass out tracks. But to drop them here or there secretly, so he knows that you've done it, you know, kind of hide them here and hide them there and tuck them here. I'm all for it, but that's not preaching. That's not preaching. Preaching is boldly proclaiming that men are sinners and Christ is a Savior. That's what preaching is. Now tonight, I want to finish with this thought. You see, the lost. What's the three things essential to salvation? The Word. The Word. And that's why tonight, again, you don't have to like it, but that's why tonight, I'm sticking with the book. The King James Bible, by the way. Sticking with the book. I don't need it rewritten, or revised, diluted down, reworded. Hey, we just need to revisit it. We need to preach it over and over again. Hey, tonight, I'm sticking with the book. And so the lost need the Bible, the Word of God. The lost need to hear. Listen up. But also the church needs to preach the word. Tonight the church has been commissioned to preach the word of God to a lost and dying world. In Mark 16 we read in Jesus Christ commissioned to the disciples, he said this, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth shall be damned." Now the word "go" tells me the church has been sent by God. Paul said, listen, how shall they go except they be sent? Well, God sends the church. We've been sent by God to go and preach the word of God. And listen, tonight, so sitting in the pew is not going. Thank God for the church house. Tonight I can preach the gospel until I'm blue in the face. But tonight I'm preaching the saints most likely. You've been saved and you've been born again, so I can preach the gospel tonight. Listen, I want to preach the gospel. I want to magnify Christ and thank God for Calvary. But tonight, if I'm just preaching the gospel over and over to save people, I'm beating the drum that needs to be listened to somewhere else. Thank God for the church. Listen, we need the church. And you quit going to church, you could get messed up in your life. I guarantee you that. I never have yet met one Christian that avoids church that's a good Christian. You need the church. But sitting in the pew, my friend, is not going. Sleeping in the daytime is not going. Hey, night's coming when we can't work. Letting someone else do it is not going. And playing church is not going. Let me ask you another question as we close. The church, has the church been commissioned with preaching the gospel according to Mark and Matthew and the book of Acts? I believe it has. I believe that we've been commissioned, the church has been commissioned to preach the gospel. Why? Because what does the lost need? The lost need the word of God. They need to hear, but how can they hear without a preacher? Should our church tonight be involved in preaching the gospel? Should we be involved in missions and praying for missionaries and sending missionaries? Should we be involved tonight to be in our streets, in our corners, preaching the gospel? Tonight, I'm not trying to parrot any other preacher or parrot any other school or parrot any denomination. But as I read my Bible, I can't help but think, yes. Yes, we should be involved in those things. The question that I have for each one of us is, then what are we doing about it? How are you involved? Listen, I know the lost have responsibility. I can't save the lost. And I'm not going to be held responsible for when they say no. They have to, every man will give an account for why they told Christ no. Why they did not want to listen or hear. But I'll be responsible for not preaching the gospel. If I believe there's a hell tonight. So preacher, why would you lead us in the ministry that's going to double your workload and cause our church to spend a lot more money than we have? Because when I view eternity, in my mind, I hear the rich man saying, Father Abraham, please send Lazarus to dip his finger and just tip of water and touch my tongue that I might be comforted. I'm terminating this flame. And as I look at people in our community, in our city, whether it's up here, or down there, or out there, or over there, wherever it's at, you know, when I see lost folks, all I can think about is that person doesn't get saved, they're going to hell. You know, pastoring a church, there are other things to do in life that's easier. If you don't believe me, then just go find the church and pastor for a little while and deal with people like you and me on a daily basis. But I love what God's calling me to do. I love our church. I love our church family. But you know what makes me sometimes just stick in there when things are a little bit tough? Eternity. Eternity. In heaven, it's going to be okay. But there's some folks tonight that need to hear the gospel because they're on the way to hell. I think I never even hit a reset button. I think remember that listen, we're here for a reason. We're serving God for a reason. And rather than being babysat or constantly being coddled or trying to, come on, come on, be a good Christian. Come on, get in there. Come on, stay in there. Man, you've heard that preaching for years. And we resort to that a lot of times, Life is hard when you don't understand, all that stuff. We preach more on trials and heartaches than probably anything else we preach upon. And I get it. I go through it the same as you do. We need to be encouraged at times. But every now and then we need to be reminded there's a hell. People are going there. And somebody, some preacher, some church, some Christian preached the word of God and you heard and you got saved. You didn't get saved by yourself. You didn't just wake up one day and think, I'll just get saved today. No, God set by somebody, a Paul or a Philip the eunuch, or Philip the evangelist. They're not the same. and you heard and you got born again. Praise God. Amen. So tonight I'll encourage you tonight, look through the lenses of eternity before you make too many decisions this evening. And when you look through the eyes of Christ, you see that he had a heart for the lost. It was not God's will first man go to hell. He died for him too. I don't know if that makes sense tonight, but I see these three things that the world needs. They need the word. They need to hear. But also the word of God needs to be preached. Well, tonight we come to you, Father, in closing. And I thank you, dear God, for your precious word tonight that someone, Lord, in my life preached the gospel to me and I got saved, gloriously saved. And Lord, tonight I know that heaven's my home, that you're my Savior. And Lord, tonight my heart oftentimes, as I look at the folks in our city, and I see the young folks run through the streets, the moms and dads carry the burdens. We look tonight, we look for so many different things to solve our problems, and what they need overall is Jesus Christ. Yeah. Because Lord, if they gain the whole world in this place, but lose their own soul, what's the profit? God, tonight I pray to equip us tonight. Help us tonight, I pray, to carry out the great commission in our lives, to preach the gospel to every creature. And this we'll thank you for, and we ask you for your help tonight. In your name we pray. Amen. Let's stand together tonight. As the piano begins to play a song of invitation this evening, perhaps you'd say, Pastor Mass, I'm not sure that I'm saved. And if I die tonight, I'm not sure for a Bible reason that heaven's my home, that I've been forgiven of my sins. Tonight, would you come and get saved? Tonight, you've heard the word. What will you do with it this evening? Perhaps you say, Preacher, I know I'm saved, but, you know, I've lost my burden for the lost people. I've lost my burden. And sometimes I live my life not looking through the lens of eternity. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And I've been a little bit hard-hearted about those things. Tonight, would you come and ask God to give you a burden for the lost? See, Lazarus, he's not coming back. He's not coming back. He's not preaching the gospel anymore. But you and I can preach the gospel. We've been warned. We've been told. What do the lost need? The lost needs the word of God. They need to hear the word of God. But they also require the preaching of the word of God. Amen. Thank you, ma'am. This chapel ministry, this church solely exists simply because, well, that shouldn't say solely, but I would say the chapel ministry that we're about to begin and start, the pure motivation tonight is because there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. The pure motivation. If there was no hell, tonight we just would sit in our pews and be happy and not spend any money or extra time. Just go eat, drink, and be merry. But because there is a hell, I'm compelled tonight to do all we can do this side of heaven. Tell folks about Jesus Christ that loves them, wants to save them. Amen. Lord, tonight we come to you in closing. Thank you, Father, for our church family tonight, getting together in this place. Thank you for your word tonight. Lord, a little heavier message, but Lord, every now and then we need to be reminded of eternity, Father, that it makes a difference. In our life, it makes a difference, Father. We have heaven to look forward to, but Lord, there's a bunch of people that walk on the broad way that leads to destruction. Lord, eternity will make a difference in their life too, Father. It'll destroy them and torment them. God, I pray, help us to have a compassion for the lost. We ask in your name and pray. Amen.